You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan. Anthony Irwin is not joining us today. Now, I could make a joke about him going to the day spa, but because I'm actually a professional, I will not do that. And I will tell you what he's really doing. He is taking his wife to Disneyland. So, you know, like totally valid reason to take off work that I'm not bitter about at all that he didn't want to take me to Disneyland, even though, you know, like we spend more time together than him and his wife. I'm not like jealous at all. It's fine. I don't mind. So joining me today with that awkward intro to replace Anthony is my good friend and Lakers Nation D-League slash Lakers contributor. I'm not sure that we have like a title for you yet, and I can't legally call you an intern, I've been told. So, but Bryant Freeze, he covers the South Bay Lakers with me. How's it going, Bryant?
It's going good. I mean, you just called it the D-League, but it's all right.
Okay. G-League, yeah. So that's why you're here, is because you're an expert on that. But we are actually not going to talk about the G League at all today, so that's actually not why you're here at all. But anyway, if you want to find more of these shows, you can do so on iTunes, Panoply, Megaphone, Spotify, Alexa, pretty much at today's Fast Break, pretty much anywhere our podcasts are found. There's a reason Anthony normally does these intros. He's a lot better at it. Today's show is brought to you by Nobody. If you would like to advertise on Locked On Lakers, you can email us at lakerslockedon@gmail.com. And so we'll just get right into it. Bryant, why is it a guarantee that LeBron James is coming to the Lakers now based on his most recent comments?
Well, because he's talking about Lonzo Ball, so obviously that means that he's coming. He said good things about him. So it's a foregone conclusion. Lock it in. LeBron James on the Lakers, 2018-2019.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's essentially guaranteed because he did kind of say that he sees a lot of himself in Lonzo. He actually, we'll go to his direct comments. He told ESPN that the kid hasn't said anything. It's been everybody else. So I love his humility. He goes out every time someone asks him a question. He says, "This is not about me, man. I just want to win. I don't care about what I did. I seen he had a triple-double one game and they lost." He was like, "I don't care. We lost. So can I draw any parallel to my experience? I mean, of course. I guess when you're drafted to a franchise, they kind of want you to be the savior. And it takes a while. I mean, listen, man, this guy is 20-something games into his pro career. Expletive. That doesn't happen that fast. Here it goes again. It goes back to my other instant oatmeal quote. Everybody wants it right away. Can he ball? Absolutely. The kid can ball. So put an emphasis. We can break from the quote and put an emphasis on that. LeBron James says Lonzo Ball can ball. And then he goes, do guys want to play with him? Absolutely. Okay. Another, like, this is now starting to get, I think, exciting for you if you're a Lakers fan. And then going back to LeBron, because it's a guy who is not about him. It's about the success of the team. And he gives the ball up, he passes the ball, and there's energy behind the ball. So other than seeing this as a gigantic subtweet of Kyrie Irving, it's hard not to look at this, at least at first glance, and say LeBron not only probably sees a lot of himself in Lonzo Ball, but sees a lot of things that he likes in Lonzo Ball.
Well, first of all, he never subtweets people, okay? That doesn't happen. LeBron James has never been one to do that.
Okay? No, of course not.
I don't know what you're talking about when it comes to that. But yeah, obviously, he likes what he sees in Lonzo Ball. He's never played in his entire career with a true passing point guard. And so
that's actually kind of true. I had never really thought about it. Like, I mean, not at least not a good one.
No, yeah, not a really good passing
point. Played with Jose Calderon.
Okay, well,
this year.
Yeah.
If Jose Calderon has he even played? I don't know.
I don't know, but he's on the team.
He's on the team. Bench. Theoretically has played with LeBron in practice.
All right. It's probably not, because he's not going to see any minutes, so why would they practice it? But either way, he's never really with the true point guard. So obviously, it would be nice to play with him. And when it comes down to it, though, he's not going to say anything bad about him. Like, they're asking him asking him about Lonzo, what is he going to say? Yeah, the dude sucks. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's what, that's the other thing that I always go to with when they ask superstars about these young players. It's kind of like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if the superstar, he can't come out and just say, yeah, you know, his shot, ugh, I was watching that the other night. That was, oh man, like, people thought I couldn't shoot threes when I was young, but this is sad.
That would be great if they did do that. That would be pretty interesting, but I don't think he feels that way anyway.
No, I don't think he feels that way, but then also, the flip side of it is if he talks him up, then fans are like, oh, he wants to play with this guy. Oh, this guy's going to be a superstar. LeBron has endorsed him. And so this stuff, like, it always gets read into too much. They kind of have to say the nice thing on some level, but LeBron was so effusive that this does seem, like, pretty genuine. And the other thing that that was my immediate takeaway from this and that I wrote about on Lakers Nation is LeBron knows the power of his voice. He understands every single little thing that LeBron does is very carefully curated. He knows what message it's going to send. LeBron James did not go to one Lonzo Ball Summer League games while speculation about him joining the Lakers was at its peak by accident. That was not an accident. LeBron James does not post a clenched fist Arthur meme on Instagram by accident. LeBron James does not drop quotes about Lonzo Ball exclusively to ESPN right before he plays the Lakers on accident. That stuff, it's on purpose. He knows what he's doing. He knows the effect that this is going to have and that it's going to send kind of fans into a frenzy about LeBron said this and that about Lonzo Ball, and like he's aware of the impact that his words have.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like you said, he's calculated about every single little thing that he does. So this isn't just out of nowhere. He knows exactly what he's doing, but that doesn't mean that he's going to the Lakers like a lot of people will say. I mean, wouldn't it be great if he's strictly just doing all of this to mess with Dan Gilbert? I mean, that's the only point behind any of the things that he does, is just to mess. Like, he already knows he's staying in Cleveland. He just wants Dan Gilbert to be uncomfortable at all times.
That would be arguably the greatest troll. If LeBron was doing this just to troll Dan Gilbert, that would be the greatest troll move, I think, in NBA history. And it's actually not totally, like, out of the realm of possibility. We know that LeBron, like, it's out there that LeBron and Dan Gilbert do not get along the best. This is kind of a very arranged marriage because Gilbert owns the team and LeBron wants to play in his hometown and wanted to come back to near Akron and play for Cleveland and bring a title there because of how great that would be for him narratively and how much power the Cavs were willing to give him over the Heat. And so that kind of, like, begs the next question. We've seen these rumors this week that LeBron supposedly wants to team up with Nerlens Noel on the Lakers. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, that would weirdest superhero team up of all time is how I've been phrasing it. And, you know, Bryant, not coincidentally, but Nerlens Noel's agent, same agent as LeBron.
Oh,
same agent as KCP.
Oh, wow.
So we're starting to see these
super team. Yeah. Super team.
KCP, Nerlens Noel, LeBron James, and Lonzo Ball. Who's going to stop that?
Nothing. No one.
No
That's
one.
For sure.
A new death lineup.
Okay, see, who? Golden State, who?
Yeah, exactly. Warriors, who? But I think that that's probably a lot of fans' concerns with if LeBron was ever going to come to the Lakers, is that the Lakers would have to cede that kind of power to him, and all of a sudden you're just paying a bunch of Rich Paul clients and seeing him get his 10 or 15% or whatever agent fee he gets.
I don't think that would happen, though, because, there's a chance, but LeBron's not dumb enough to bring in all the guys that he likes. I take that back. Look at Cleveland right now. I mean, that's basically a team he put together, and it's basically a bunch of old guys that
GM LeBron assembled that roster very much, and it was a good roster when all those guys were good, but then they got paid and they're still on the team, and now that's why they're kind of on and off struggling to start the year.
There's a difference between the Cleveland Cavaliers organization, though, and the Los Angeles Lakers organization. So in Cleveland, I bet he kind of feels that he needs to somewhat run the team. Out here, I think if he were to come here, he would come here because he has trust in Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. I don't think he would come here with the intentions of, well, I need to now run this team and bring in guys that I want to be here.
Yeah, I think so. Like, if we're going to through these destinations that he's gone to in his career, Cleveland the first time he was drafted, Miami he went there to play with his friends, Cleveland he came back for power, Los Angeles he's coming there to play for the Lakers and the iconicness that comes with that. He's going there for his off the court interests as far as Hollywood and all of that stuff and getting a foothold in LA early and being able to hobnob with these celebrities at Laker games when they're sitting courtside and all of that stuff. Like, those things are factors. And then there's like the winning, and then getting to like learn from Magic Johnson and interact with him on a daily basis. I think they're different situations, but I very much don't think that LeBron, the way that he has flexed his muscles over like figuratively over the last several years, is going to want to totally give up power. The Lakers would have to agree that he was going to have a say in personnel stuff. And to be honest, if you have to do that to get LeBron to join your team, especially if he's coming with another superstar free agent, then that's the right decision.
Oh, 100%. And LeBron's going to make some of the right decisions. You can't give him total power. You can't give him total power where it's just his team now. But yeah, I mean, if he wants a couple. And Nerlens Noel, it's a guy you can get for relatively cheap. So
yeah, especially like after this year when he's not playing in Dallas.
Exactly. So, I mean, if that's the one guy that he wants to bring in that's his guy, that's not a big deal. They can get him easily and not pay him much at all.
Yeah, they'd still have to pay him some because I think that, you know, LeBron would make sure that Rich Paul's client got what he felt he deserved. So they'd have to pay him a bit, but, you know, I don't want to get into the Nerlens Noel stuff too much. Like, I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but the point is...
He's a great player, let me just say that. Top 10 talent.
Nerlens Noel is a top 30 center in the NBA. The point of all of this is the reason that you do this and the reason you give LeBron power, and that is because he is an immortal cyborg that is incapable of being injured, incapable of being slowed down until the postseason, and that's only if he has to play like 44 minutes a game. Even then, he will do so in the finals, and the Cavs will be better than the Warriors in those minutes and only lose the finals because of the minutes that LeBron is sitting, they were outscored by so much. Cavs, positive point differential with LeBron on the floor in the finals, and he played like 40 some minutes. Like, they lost because of the minutes he didn't play, which is insane. And like, that's how good he is, and he makes everyone around him better. That's the other thing, and that goes back to the comments that he's talking about Lonzo and why guys, you know, quote unquote, like not LeBron, he's not saying him, he's just saying guys, why guys would want to play with Lonzo. And both of those guys make other guys better, but LeBron would make Lonzo so much better just because Lonzo would all of a sudden not have to bear the primary playmaking burden every single possession on the floor, and he would have another guy who can go out there and make plays for other people, which the Lakers don't really have right now. They have guys that can periodically do that, but they don't have anybody who does it consistently. Randall is not that guy. Clarkson is not that guy, as good as they've been. They just are not those guys. Kuzma's not that guy yet, although he's shown flashes of being a pretty good passer. Like, they aren't those guys yet. And so having a guy like LeBron would ease so much pressure on Lonzo, and it would allow him to just kind of play off the ball every so often. And it would not only would it make Lonzo better, it would make any of the other young core guys that you kept better. Playing with LeBron would make Kuzma a hell of a lot better. It would make Clarkson, if he remained on the team, a whole lot better. It would make Randall better if he stayed on the team, although that seems unlikely. It would make Ingram a hell of a lot better.
That's like the number one guy right there, because then you don't have 2-3 guys coming to close down on Ingram. He has one-on-one all day. I mean,
He can beat one-on-one. Oh, he's shown that this year.
And let alone the passing skills that LeBron has and the vision, just amazingness on the court, just being a player to take guys away that, like we were just talking about, you can't double-team anyone else now because LeBron's on the court. I mean, just that fact is going to make these guys better. And the off-the-court stuff. I mean, LeBron's one of the highest IQ guys there is ever to play basketball. Just having that, watching film with those guys, you learn so much and you pick up the game so much faster with a guy like that.
And the work habits, too. Like, LeBron is one of the hardest workers in the NBA. He's a guy that he will instantly come in. We saw it with the Cavs. He instantly started trying to clean up their culture. He was frustrated with the rebuilding culture of, like, guys were leaving their laundry on the floor. Dad LeBron was coming in and saying that was no longer acceptable. He was making them come in for early workouts. Like, all of these guys, they've all kind of drawn praise for their work ethic so far, but that could only get better if you bring in a guy like LeBron.
Exactly. Like you said, he came in and made guys come in and work early. That's not something he has to do with the Lakers. Like, these young guys are already coming in and working early without anyone telling them to. Now they have LeBron James there with them.
Yeah, and so that's why you make this move. For all the people saying, oh, he's going to be like he's going to be on the wrong side of 30. He's going to start to decline.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You're going to get 2 good years of LeBron at least, and then maybe he starts to decline. But you do that for the 2 good years of LeBron.
LeBron is not from this planet. That's right? Actually, he's going to be a top 10 player in this league till he's 85 years old.
That's very possible. You literally cannot rule that out. So.
He's never slowed down, and he's, what, 33, 4, yeah. 2, 3, 4, something like
32 or 33.
Okay, and he's still by far the best player in the league. Like, he has not slowed down one bit. He's going to be playing well into his 80s.
Yeah, and so you're willing to sacrifice for a guy like that, and you're willing to cede some control, and you're willing to do, like, that's why all you are willing to do all of this stuff. And, you know, if Lonzo helps you get him, then it's pretty good the Lakers have a guy like that. And I don't want to read too much into these comments. I don't want to assume that they mean LeBron is coming, because he might, again, just be trying to tweak the Cavs, might be trying to say, hey, don't be content right now. Make some moves by the deadline. Make this team better. That's very much a possibility here. But if Lonzo is a guy that LeBron sees some of himself in and stuff like that, and that helps you get him, then that's really valuable.
Do you think, if you had to answer right now, that LeBron is going to leave Cleveland?
I honestly am starting to lean that way. I don't know that it's guaranteed that it's to the Lakers, but it just there seems to be so much discontent there at this point in those relationships that I could definitely see him leaving another time. I think there's a chance it's to a team like the Rockets, or there's a chance it's to like a different team. I don't know that the Lakers are a guarantee, but I do think he's leaving.
Do you think he knows at this point what he's doing?
I don't think he knows. I think he probably has some ideas. Yeah. I think LeBron has contingency plans. And yeah. LeBron, like, he's a genius.
He's going to wait out the season, though, most likely see what the Cavs are like at the end of the season, then make his decision from there.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron hasn't texted me what he's doing yet, but, like, well, that would be my guess.
I wouldn't be that surprised if he has. I mean,
noted NBA insider Harrison Fagan. That's me. Anyway, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today was the LaVar Ball Lakers meeting between a meeting of the minds to discuss whether or not he should continue to criticize Luke Walton and ask him not to. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second. Okay, so Bryant, we are finally to the reason, other than Anthony going to Disneyland without me, messed up, but that I decided to bring you in today. And it's because
it's not just because I'm amazing.
It's not just because you're
amazing. It's not because I sound like TJ Miller.
That you said, I believe one of our iTunes reviews.
You know your listeners love my TJ Miller voice.
Drunk TJ Miller, I believe, is how you were described in an iTunes review, which is the most accurate description of you I've ever heard.
I'll take it. Not funny right now, but I'll take it.
So So drunk TJ Miller is here to talk to us about, you have very unique experience as far as like what the things that you've done professionally and in school. So like you've worked with us and you've done the journalism route and you've gone and covered South Bay Lakers games and you've gone and you've covered Defenders games and you've done the whole sports coverage thing for the Daily Titan, the student newspaper at Cal State Fullerton. That's a free shout out. But you've also done the other side. You are now working with Titan Athletics. You're working. You flip sides on us, and you're
to the dark side.
Exactly. Yeah. You are working as a PR person for the teams here at Cal State Fullerton, and so you've seen both sides of how this stuff works. And while I don't think that Cal State Fullerton has had its version of LaVar Ball yet, I do think that it makes you kind of uniquely qualified to talk about, like, all this stuff that's going on and just, like, why both sides, like, why the media covers things the way that it does and why PR, like, the Lakers are trying to maybe shut this down and, like, what way, like, so for you, when the Lakers started enforcing this rule that, like, fans couldn't go into the family section at games and interview players' families, like, that's just PR 101, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, that's basic. Why would you let... That's just opening the doors. If anyone can go down there and interview them at any time, which is what was happening, you're just opening the doors for terrible things to come out. And then it's just a nuisance inside the stadium. Like, especially with a guy like LaVar Ball, there's so many people walking up to him. And then it's just annoying inside the stadium for the people around him.
And that's without even saying what the problems that the stuff that he's going to say is going to cause.
Exactly. And that's just, I mean, like you said, that's 101. How do we limit how much he talks? I mean, just take it away. Don't let people go down there.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, so that was the first step, and that's what they went with. And, you know, I just want to, like, this was apparently always a rule. It just wasn't that heavily enforced. And, like, it's weird to me because I always, like, it's obvious where the family section is if you've been around. Like, you've seen, like, where the play, like, you know who is with the players and you know where they're sitting. And it's actually in front of one of the media rows at Staples Center. And so I would say, you know, you'd see Larry Nance Jr.'s girlfriend. You'd see, like, Julius Randle's wife in there. But, like, for me, I was always like, I'm not going to go in there and talk to them. Like, they don't want to talk to me. That's just bothering them. And so that seemed like common sense to me, although apparently common sense isn't common.
Well, it's a lot.
And also, the from the journalist perspective, if you can go down there and you can get LeVar Ball to say something that's going to be the headline of the next day, that's journalism 101. You go down there and you get the story. That's the big story right now.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, no matter what he does say, even if it's, like, the most non-controversial thing ever, it's still going to be a big deal just because he said something. So, if you're a reporter, I mean, that's your job, like you said. It's not necessarily journalism. I don't know if you can say it's journalism. It's just reporting some random nonsense that a bunch of people are going to click on.
Hashtag press on, Bryant. Hashtag press on. That's me. I am an ethical... true journalist.
You wouldn't go into the family section, so apparently you're one.
Yeah,
of
apparently I am a white knight, and you don't have to. You know, I'm not asking for your praise or like awards or anything like that. Just my Venmo's open, and you know.
I think everyone from the Lakers should give you an award for not going and talking to their family.
That would be. See, I couldn't accept that. That would be unethical. So, little journalism 101. Yeah, you almost. That was a nice test. You almost got me. So then the next step that the Lakers have taken is they have had Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson sit down with LeVar Ball. They apparently had him do so on November 29th, and then it did not work. About 6 days later, he went on Sirius XM and blasted Luke Walton. He went on some YouTuber's channel and like. Also blasted him last week, and so, whoops, you know, I liked how during Ramona Shelburne's story, like, LeVar's response was basically like, sorry, not sorry. Like, yeah, you know, they asked me to tone down my criticism, and I told them that I'd talk to them before basically before he criticized Luke Walton. Like, that he's still gonna say whatever he wants. And so, like, what, for you, as obviously professional PR expert, what would your next step be? If you're the Lakers, like, how do you try to bridge this divide? Like, is there anything you can do?
There's really nothing you can do. I mean, if you've already talked to them, what can you do? I mean, you can't control the media and not let people, like, you know, you're in opposing stadiums. People interview him walking down the street. He calls into radio stations all the time. You can't control all of that. So at this point, I mean, you just have to do your best damage control whenever he does talk. And honestly, maybe just ignore it. I mean, you know, they're always going to ask Luke Walton after the games. Did you see LeVar? They're always going to ask Lonzo. They're going to ask other players. Just maybe tell everyone ignore it. Like, don't even respond to these comments anymore because there's no point. I mean, it just builds into a bigger story about nothing, really. And maybe you just have to have continuous dialogue with LeVar Ball and be like, hey, man, like, come on. Just, I understand you're going to say certain things, but don't be ripping on the coach. Just, this is your son. We're trying to make it easier for your son.
Yeah.
And you're only making it harder. I understand he doesn't feel that way. But, I mean, we didn't deal with it to this level, but at the, we had a dad at the soccer games that would go and he would curse out the coach and he would be, at the games.
So you had soccer version of LeVar Ball.
I mean, yeah, he would curse at him at the game, though. And so, I mean, it started with, all right, he can't come to the games anymore, but then it was like, all right, that's too far, let's just talk to him and try and calm things down and go from there. But we don't have journalists sticking microphones in his face all the time, so it's a little easier for us to deal with it.
And so that's the thing that, like, that's kind of along the lines of the answer I thought you'd give, and that, like, I'm a good journalist, I can predict that stuff, and that's why you ask these questions, because I'm just that brilliant. But it's just kind of to point out that everybody's like, the Lakers just need to shut him up. The Lakers just need to shut him up. They can't. That's the thing. Like a misconception. They can't. I mean, they could go the next step and they could ban him from games. But you know how big of a story? Yeah, that's a horrible idea. All of a sudden, like, then that's a gigantic story that they're banning their like arguably the centerpiece of their future. They're banning his father from a game. That's just feeding into these same headlines that the reporters that are going and talking to LeVar are looking to create, and it's continuing to fuel that clickbait narrative.
Would Would Lonzo even care if his dad was banned from the stadium? Would he be happy?
Well, last night he said that he liked when his dad came to watch him play, but what else are you going to say? I don't know. I
hate when my dad comes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to bring the specific person who this was about into this, but, I mean, you could tell after the game, like, he was shook. He was not happy with what happened. He felt bad for his players, his coach. Like, he completely felt bad. And it's not his fault at all.
Yeah.
And we see this with Lonzo. I mean, none of this is his fault, but yet all the pressure is put on him by other players in the league and stuff because of his dad. And, I don't know. Maybe there would be some pressure taken off if his dad wasn't in the building every night, getting interviewed every night. I mean,
and so that's what the Lakers tried to do. They tried to make it so that he's not as easy to interview. And that's really, like, that's as far as they can go. They've asked him to not do it, and they've banned media from the family section. And beyond that, like, there's just not a whole lot they can do.
No, yeah, banning him from the stadium would be a bad idea. That'd be a big story. And then, you know, he's going on literally every single radio station in the entire country to talk about it.
To say that that Luke Walton's afraid of him, and that, you know, like, all whatever he's going to say. Like, it's LeVar. He's going to go off, and he's going to blow V8, and he's going to, like burn people. And that's just what he does.
And then Stephen A. Smith's reaction would be priceless, and then they would probably argue, and, oh, it'd be a big deal. It'd be a two-week-long story on ESPN.
Yeah. I guess the best news for the Lakers is that LeVar, it sounds like, is planning on following his two younger sons to Lithuania, and so maybe...
That's going to last, like, a month.
Yeah, and so, well, so for about a month, you got maybe, like, LeVar criticizing the Lakers head coach less, you know.
He's going to realize that there's no media in the small 10,000-people town of Lithuania, and he's going to immediately come home. He's
gonna,
like, LiAngelo, LaMelo, I'm sorry, guys, there's no microphones here. I got to go.
Yeah, he's going to, like, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be, like, just another step in this amazing big baller brand journey.
I mean, do you see Valanciunas, is that his name? On the Raptors?
Yeah.
He's from there. He said it's a great idea. He said they're gonna learn a lot, so.
Well then, all right. If
Valanciunas says it, you know it's the truth. Meta World Peace also.
I have no evidence to prove that Jonas Valanciunas has ever been wrong about anything.
Exactly.
So,
two of the most reputable people to talk to this about.
European basketball analysts, Meta World Peace and Jonas Valanciunas. So I think that should probably about do it for today's show, unless you had anything else to add on the LeVar Ball experience.
I just wanted to talk more about Jonas Valanciunas, but all right.
In that case, I'm cutting you off, Drunk TJ Miller. That was Drunk TJ Miller, a.k.a. Bryant Freeze of Lakers Nation and of, you know, D-League or G-League and South Bay Lakers coverage. Bryant, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, as always, you can find Locked On Lakers on iTunes, Spotify, Panoply, Megaphone, Today's Fast Break, Alexa, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. Anthony will likely be back tomorrow. I will likely be back tomorrow, so we'll get a nice reunion and we can figure out how his Disneyland trip was. We'll talk to you guys later.